Welcome to this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church. Today we have a message that we believe is full of practical and relevant behavioral teaching from God's Word, the Bible. We'd like to invite you to grab a piece of paper and a pen. Take notes as you go through this, looking for a personal application from God to you. Sit back and enjoy as we begin this message.
We exalt you above all of the heavens and all of the earth and below the earth, because you said that all authority is given to you above the heavens, on the earth, and below the earth. So we exalt your name. We exalt your name. God, we stand in your presence blown away that you would actually gather with us. Can I tell you, if you're not really familiar with Old Testament, in the temple versus New Testament, in the Old Testament, when the priest, the high priest, would go behind the veil, you see, there was a veil. The Ark of the Covenant was behind the veil. The perfect presence of God was within that covenant, was within that ark. And wherever Israel was, their job was to protect the covenant, protect the ark. And yet God all along was protecting the seed. He kept them focused on the ark, but God's all along, God's intention was to protect the seed of Messiah. And he kept them focused on his presence always. Remember that my presence is there. And when the high priest would go in, he would go in and they would tie the cords around him, because if there was anything imperfect about the way he cleansed himself and he was not worthy of going into the presence of God, death would come to the high priest and they would have to pull him back out, because you see, no one went behind the veil. 2,000 years ago, when Christ hung on that tree, as was prophesied by the prophets, Christ fulfilling the prophecies of the Old Testament prophets, he went into the... Listen, let me tell you something. Woo! He went in for you and for me. He became the sacrifice, the perfect Lamb of God. And never again would there have to be sacrifice for the sin of man, because he said he did it once and for all. Once and for all. And Christ went where we could not go. He went into the belly of the earth and he took the keys of death, hell, the grave. He conquered it. He set the captive righteous free, and they went into the presence of God. If you don't know that, let me tell you, when Jesus said to the thief on the cross who gave him his life on the cross next to him, he said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. He wasn't talking about heaven that day. He was talking about with the righteous dead. And Christ descended and he set them free during that 3 days. From that time on, the Bible says to be absent in the body is to be present with the Lord. And from that day on, when the righteous dead leave this world, they step into the presence of the Holy of Holies. The veil was ripped in two in the temple that day. And from that day on, we never had to go behind the veil. The person behind the veil came to us. If that doesn't clarify some things for you, I don't know what kind of God you're looking for, but I am looking for the one who was willing to split the veil in two and come out from behind the veil and step into my world. And he did it. His name is Jesus, and he is King of Kings, and he is Lord of Lords. That's who we sing about last night. That's who we teach today. That's who we worship today. There's not a better story. I don't know what more he can do. He's not a boring God. Boy, we've done a good job of boring him up, haven't we? Oh, we can make him boring. Is what I just told you boring? I mean, that is amazing to me. Nate, he did that for you. And listen, the stripes that he took is so you will walk again one day. That's what he took the stripes. He bore those. And when anyone tells you, if anybody ever tells you the Jews killed Jesus, I'm going to tell you, look them straight in the eyes and say, no, that's not what Scripture says. Scripture says it was my sin. Own it. Don't blame anybody else. It wasn't the Romans. Jesus said, no man takes my life. I lay it down. For the unrighteousness of all of mankind. Don't you ever let anybody tell you. I had a reporter call me one time and said, we hear that you don't believe the Jews killed Jesus. Is that right? I said, that's right. But I know who did. Oh, I want to write a story on that. I said, well, my name's Barry, and I killed Jesus. I won't blame anybody else. You see, it was my sin. He loved me so much, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whosoever believeth in him will not perish but have eternal life. It's a simple story. It was my fault. And I needed a Savior. How do I know? The Bible says that he said he would leave the 99 and go to the needs of the one. He came to me. He came from up from behind the veil, and he came into my world. I don't know about you, but that's an exciting story. It's not just a baby in a manger. This is the King of Kings who's going to wear the sash in Revelation chapter 7 when he rides on those white horses out of heaven. And you and I, the righteous who are with him, will ride out of heaven that day. I want you to look around to the person next to you and say, I'm going to ride. Come on, you can do better than that. I'm going to ride. If you don't intend to ride, don't go to heaven. I'm just saying. Now, if that's a boring gospel, I said it in less than 5 minutes. We could go home. Don't say yes. I'm just saying it doesn't take that long to tell the truth. He is everything I just described, and if you've got the rest of eternity, we'll talk about the rest of it. Mike, Pastor Mike is going to show an amazing, amazing movie in the weeks to come. We got a movie we're going to surprise you with. It is amazing who God is. Do you ever see what was the name of the one we showed in here? How great is our God? Did you ever see that? I could see that 20 times and never be bored with that. How great is our God? Well, Heavenly Father, we come to your presence this morning and we say yes, Lord, to your will and to your pleasure. We say yes, Lord, to your will and to your good pleasure. I ask you, God, today that nothing less than the King's ransom is poured out upon this place, because we have the King's ransom. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. The King's, all of his inheritance. I get the King's inheritance. Everything that he has promised me, I get it. And then some, because I am bought and paid for. I am an heir to a throne, the throne that will sit next to my master's. Oh, my Lord. Woo. Listen, let me tell you. I wish we could get into it. We will in the months ahead. I want to talk about a kinsman redeemer. A kinsman redeemer. Oh, my Lord. If you don't know the story, go Google the definition of a kinsman redeemer, and you'll know what we're going to talk about someday. We've got a great, we don't have a boring Jesus. If this is your first time back in church in a while, don't get bored with Jesus. You were given the wrong Jesus if he's boring to you. You were given the wrong Christ, the wrong gospel. Paul said, if it's not everything I've said it is, God help us. This is not boring. This is a king worth living for, a king worth serving, a king that doesn't abuse those who serve him, but he raises them up and he sits them at the right hand of the Father. Father, bring it on down. Let the revival and the awakening here at St. Charles River Church, let it continue through all of 2017, but not just in the masses. Start with me. Continue to awaken me. Continue to revive those of us who are alive and are currently dead. God, speak life into their spirit. Everybody say this. Speak life. Speak life into me. Oh God, awaken me. Revive me. Awaken me. Revive me. Bring me where you want me to be. Step out from the veil into my world and awaken me today. Awaken me today. Awaken me today. In Jesus' name, we're going to do this again. Give the Lord a hand. We're going to teach here in a few minutes. Here we go. Give him your very best. Give him your very best. Give him your very best. Give him your very, very best worship. Come on. How are you going to see him on that day? What will you do when you see Jesus face to face? Come on. Come on. Can you imagine? Like the song says, Nate is standing and he's worshiping. Nate is standing and he's worshiping. The guy who's not supposed to be standing is, if you don't know their story, let me tell you their story. Don't sit down. If you sit down, I'm going to come after you. Other than if it's a health reason. Go ahead. Keep playing that. No, keep playing that, dude. That's good stuff. Listen. So on their honeymoon, or shortly after they got married, Nate was in a golf cart accident. He's not supposed to be standing today. Because what the enemy brought against him was not only to destroy his spirit, his soul, his hope, it was to destroy a brand new marriage between Nate and Melissa. And the enemy intended to destroy you guys. And instead, you ran to the one who came out from behind the veil. You ran to Jesus. In Nate's spirit, he ran to Jesus. In Nate's spirit, he ran to the only one who could give him hope. Melissa, I'm telling you, that girl ran hard to Jesus. She came after a risen Savior, and they are depending on not just this life for Nate to walk and run again, which we will see one day. We've already seen the progress. If you've not been involved, even Frank Cusimano can't get enough of their story. I mean, he's covering it. He keeps covering it. Habitat for Humanity just provided an entire opportunity for them last week. We dedicated their house two weeks ago, right? Let me tell you what, he's not supposed to be standing today. Let's celebrate with Nate and Melissa. Not only is he standing, he's standing and he's worshiping the one who came out from behind the veil. Woo! Here we go. You guys ready to get into the Word? Got 13 of you, okay. I said y'all get ready to get into the Word?
Yeah.
Everybody repeat after me, I am ready.
Just
to hear God speak. So Lord, speak to me first. Don't pass me up. Speak to, you're getting quieter. Don't pass me up. Speak to me first. Because I'm ready and I'm expecting more than Barry was last night. I'm expecting big. From the Lord. So don't pass me up. Ooh, if you mean that, he'll honor that. No, I'm serious. He really will honor that. Just get ready, because if you really meant that, he's going to do something in you today that he's never done in you today before. Are you ready for that? It's not about the teaching. It really is about the presence of God. Seriously. That's why the veil was there. Because the presence of God is serious. No, I said, got 13 of you, okay. The presence of God is a serious issue. And when God is present, that means he's blessing. Thank you. You know what Ichabod means? Do you know what Ichabod means? Ichabod means the Lord has departed. God doesn't go where he won't bless. In fact, where God doesn't go, he will judge. Because there's things there he won't bless. Did you know that? Hell is not the worst part of hell, and we do believe in a literal burning hell because the Bible teaches that here. So if anybody says they never mention hell, mark this down. And what date? What's the date? 12th of February. The presence of God, the worst torment about hell will be the absence of the presence of God. There's torment, but the greatest torment will be a spiritual torment of total separation from God. That's how this, if you don't think that, think about when Christ was on the cross. And I'm going to talk about commitment to you in a minute. Think about, you talk about a God that was committed to something. That's what I want to talk to you about. Love is commitment today. When Jesus was on the cross and he was bearing all of your sin and my sin, all of my sin that took him to the tree, not the Jew, not the Romans, my sin that took him to the tree. During that time, darkness came over the earth. Read the scripture. Read what God's word says. It got dark in that ninth hour. It got dark and there was this amazing storm that was taking place. And what was actually taking place was somewhere, and I don't know exactly what time frame, but somewhere in there, the presence of God, if you read Jesus' words, he said, "Father, why have you forsaken me?" Because the blessing and the presence of God, and for the first time in all of past history, eternity, present or future, the Trinity was separated for the only time in all of eternity. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit were actually separated and earthquakes took place. Read scripture if you've never read it. The dead began to come out of tombs. There was such a tumultuation on the earth. Read it. It was the Jews that recognized it. They told the stories. There were the witnesses of people that literally tombs opened. People rose from the dead. There was this chaos that took place because for the very first time, the Son was separated from the presence of the Father and the blessing and the power of the Holy Spirit. And he became human in the sense that death took him. And he went into the belly of the... Wait a minute now. You see, sin separates from God. It wasn't Christ's sin because Christ knew no sin. It was my sin. I'm not even going to blame you. It was my sin that separated for the only time in all of eternity the Son from the Father. He turned his back on him because he had to turn his back on sin. And that was my sin that day. And Jesus was so committed to this. He was so committed to this that he was willing. The torment, the greatest torment was the separation. Father, You listen to all the things that Jesus said on the cross. Read all those things, statements that he made. Take all four of the Gospels and read the statements that were recorded. And I don't know that he didn't say more, but what we knew is that there were consistency between the Gospels of some of the statements that he made. So we know some of them. One of the greatest writers, Max Lucado, wrote a book called No Wonder They Call Him Savior. And he pointed out the fact that all of the things that he said, most of them he said as God the Son. And even when he said, "Father, why have you forsaken me?" You see, that was this sonship relationship that he had in the Trinity. It was still God the Son. But there was one thing that he said on the cross. The only thing that he said that was recorded that gives us the essence of the humanity of the suffering. And he said simply two words, "I thirst." It was his human need. And yet he was committed to go through the physical torture. He was committed to go through the physical torture because of his love for us, his commitment. You see, love equals commitment. Within a marriage, love equals commitment. Turn in your Bibles to to Psalm 37. I want to read quickly. Psalm 37. You see, we have a Father who's committed to us. He's still committed to you. Nate and Melissa, he's so stinking committed to you, we can't even fathom the commitment that the Father has to you. And the Spirit of God, the Bible says, surely goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of my life. There's goodness right behind you guys, and there's mercy. Wherever you guys go, goodness and mercy are following you every day of your life, every moment of your life. When you run, you can't run hard enough from God because goodness and mercy keep following you. Did you ever notice that? You can't shake the presence of God. Even when we're not, and I'm not pointing at these guys. When we're doing something wrong, you can't run hard enough. God's right there. Goodness and mercy. Trucking right after you. This is the God that's committed to you more than you are committed to you. He's more committed to getting us to heaven than we're committed to getting to heaven. Right, Dave? Isn't that that's what we experience in our lives, our natural, everyday lives. God is committed more to getting us to heaven than we are. Aren't you parents more committed to keeping your kids alive than they are? I mean, when they get home and they have the piece of paper that a police officer's written them for 104 miles an hour in a 35. Our parents are more committed to keeping kids alive than kids are committed to keeping themselves alive. Because we have little perspective when we're 16 or 17. And if you're a man, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24... I'm just saying. It does end, by the way. Ladies, it gets better. About the time they hit 50, I promise, it gets better. They get trainable about that time. Psalm 37 says, this is the God that's committed to us. And David writes this commandment to us. And he simply says, trust in the Lord and do good. In other words, trust in the Lord and do the right thing. He's committed to you, so you can trust him. If teenagers would learn to trust those who are more committed to keeping them alive than they are, and just do the right thing, it would all work out just fine. I had an older brother that learned the art of opening the window at night silently. So my mom, being the smart Medea that she is, how many of you know I compared my mom to Medea, you know, in the movies? Tyler Perry's movies. My mom was Medea, carried a loaded 45, rolls of quarters in her purse in case she had to take out a drug dealer. It was my mom. We're talking Riverview Gardens here. I'm telling the truth. If any of you think I'm... Tell the stories. Ask my family. So my mom, whenever these teenagers would come in, and BJ used to bring in boatloads of teenagers... My mom would say, surrender one shoe, put it in a bucket. You see, parents are more committed to keeping them alive than they are. They said, Mrs. Ivy, what do you mean? Give me both of your shoes if you're going to question me. So she'd take both their shoes. Yeah, if you're going anywhere, you're going in your cold feet. That's right, wet socks. Right. And she'd collect shoes. And the next morning, when it was time to return them to their parents, she'd hand out shoes. You see... Perspective is what God has. He has the big picture in mind. The word says he knows the end from the beginning. And so my mom and my dad had a plan to get those kids home alive. Big perspective. So we can trust the Lord and just do the right thing. I promise you, because God promises you, not because my word's any good, but because his is. If you trust him and do the right thing, it's going to work out just fine. He's committed to you. If you'll trust him, do the right thing. We find what the right thing is in here. How do we know that? It's what he said is the right thing. He goes on to say, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. We win. Delight yourself in him. Many of you, I've told the story. Just leave that up there. Many of you, I've told the story of the day. You know what delighting in the presence of? You remember when you fell in love? Do you remember? I hope you're still in love. You better be shaking your head, yes. I hope you're still in love. If you're not, Lord, help me be in love with somebody that is right. That's true. That from Janice Bean, the counselor here at St. Charles River Church. Delight yourself in the Lord. One day I used to when we first married, man, I just wanted to be at home with Gina, you know. Just in her presence. I'd come up with excuses. And one day, I've told you the story, so I'm going to give you the short version of it. She took off work. She stayed home. She was going to take off work. She worked for, back then it was, who was the big Pricewaterhouse. Thank you. That's why she's here. She fills in my blanks. She's heard all these stories. So she's working for Pricewaterhouse. She took the day off and she stayed home. She said, but you need to go to work because I need to accomplish things. I said, no. I want to take the day off. I want to be with you. And so I finally convinced her, long story short, after she said it many times, no, when you're here, I have to pay attention to you. And I said, no, please, I'll stay busy. I'll wax the van. I'll wash and wax. We had a raised roof van. You know, one of those GMC, big Explorer kind of things. Oh, I said, I'll do that. I'll be outside, but I just want to be home with you because I delighted in her presence. You get that? I just wanted to be with close, you know? And you can run in every once in a while and kiss, you know, and say hi and touch base, and she'd throw me back out. But I was out there one day, and so I washed the van. I mean, I washed it. And you have to get on a ladder to get on the raised roof. So I'd up on the ladder. And then I said, okay, I'm going to wax it. She's still not done working inside, so I decided to wax it. And I waxed that entire lower part of the van. Then I had to get up on the roof. It was a plexiglass. Is that what it's called? Anyway, it's not plexiglass. It's a fiberglass. Thank you. See, that's why y'all are here. So I was up there waxing, and I waxed myself. Because, I mean, and the driveway's an angle. And so I waxed all around, and I'm on my belly, because you can't put too much weight or you'll crack that stuff, the fiberglass. So I was distributing my weight, and I went in a circle. I'm laying, and I'm waxing in circle, and I finally realized there was not a place that wasn't slick around me. I couldn't move. And so, this is true. You can ask Gina. Now, I was young then. And so I said, "Hon, could you come out here a second?" I feel myself sliding forward a little bit towards the front of the van. And I'm like, I got my fingers wrapped around both corners. And I'm literally, fingers are keeping me from sliding, because now I'm in the wax. Because I kept backing up and getting a little more wax. So finally, I got so much wax on it, I'm literally sliding headfirst over, and I'm going to go off the front of the van. And I'm yelling, "Hun, I need you. Hun, I need you to come out now. Please, come out now." And about this time, she comes out of the garage door. "What do you need?" That's the reason I wanted you to go to work. And she's standing there doing this as I'm sliding off, ready to break my neck. She's doing this. "Now, why do you need me? This is why I wanted you to go to work." I said, "Hon, I need you to get me a ladder now." "Well, I'm just telling you, if you can't do this by yourself, I think, do you get the picture? I'm gonna die." And she wants to prove the point. That's why we end up in marriage counseling, you know, that as couples. If we have two different agendas in a crisis moment like that. So she finally got the ladder, and I did manage to swing my body around and come off feet first and went down. That is delighting in the presence of someone so much that you're willing to take a risk. Just being in his presence is amazing. Take the risk. Give him everything. He's got a ladder. He really, what's the word say? Through temptation, he'll make a way of escape. It's okay. Trust him. Delight in him. Next verse. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this. He will, listen, this is what he's going to do if you trust him. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. If you trust him, he'll do that for you. If you commit to him, he'll do that for you. And then we get to delight in his presence. Now there's a couple here today. There's a couple here today that are celebrating their 73rd wedding anniversary. Would you congratulate Ira and Nellie Bentley are sitting right here. 73 years of commitment and delighting themselves in each other's presence. If you've ever been, yeah, you better give them what they deserve. Yep. Give it up. 73 years of commitment and delighting in each other. Being the light of each other's world. It is a great example. You may be seated. It is a great example of committing yourself to some purpose bigger than yourself. We don't have to look beyond our very own families to see that God gives us things that are bigger than ourselves to commit to. And 73 years ago, when Ira and Nellie walked up that aisle and decided, this is of God. How old were you, Ira?
18.
How old was Nellie? You're both 18 years of age. Oh, my Lord. And so they go into Southern gospel music. They were the singing Bentleys. If you didn't know it, Sherman, is Sherman here? No. Okay. Sherman played piano. Nellie played guitar. And Lisa and Michelle, twins, they sang. I've heard the albums. They played the albums for me. And not long ago, I was sitting there. Well, we were over at the Arthur's house, and we were sitting there listening to the albums. And I said, Nellie, I never got to sing with you. I have never got to sing with you. And I just knelt down there like I'm about to do. How'd you like to hear Nellie sing in church again? Yeah. Michelle, go get a microphone. Go get your microphone. Because we're going to have a mom and daughter singing, and I get to sing lead. We all ready? This is where you trust in and you rely on. We're trusting Nellie's going to carry this thing. I want you to know, when I knelt down next to her last week and she began to sing with me, you know, I can hardly hear her when I'm talking to her when she's sitting in that chair. But when this girl starts to sing for Jesus, you'll never hear anything like that. And so I am going to get down next to this sweetheart, and we are going to sing. And if you guys know the song, you can jump right in with me. It's simply, He Touched Me. Okay, so I'm going to sing through my microphone. This is going to be Nellie's microphone. This is red, just so you know where we're at. Okay, you ready to go, Nellie? You're going to sing with me in church. Ready? Since I met this blessed Savior, and since He cleansed and made me whole, I will never cease to praise Him. I'll shout it while eternity rolls. He touched me. Oh, He touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know He touched me and made me whole. Hey, sweetie. Hey, buddy. Love you. Wow. 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 Can you imagine the church services that they led? They were committed to raising their children for the cause of Jesus Christ. They trusted in. How many children did you have? Four boys and three girls. Riverview Gardens Mass says that's seven. Oh. Twin girls. So that would be six. And you trusted in and you relied on each other, because both of you trusted in and you relied on the one who came out from behind the veil for you and for your family. And so your grandkids are sitting here and your great-grandkids are sitting here. We got generations of people who are the effect of mom and dad, grandma and grandpa, great grandma and grandpa, trusting in, relying on, delighting in the presence of God. And He says, this is what I'll do for you. He'll make your righteousness shine like the dawn, and your kids and your grandkids and your great grandkids will want to shine just like you, is what He's saying. And the justice of your cause, what's the cause? His name is Jesus. Will shine like the noonday sun. Now, then his next verse, he gets it clear. He says, now just stay. When he says be still, he's not saying don't do anything. Just let your spirit be at peace before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. If your kids aren't doing exactly what they should be doing, if your grandkids aren't doing exactly what they should be doing, have peace. Have peace. This is what Jesus said, peace I came to give to you. Peace I give to you. Peace I give to you. Have you ever met a Christian that's always in turmoil? I have met many. And we use this earthly phrase, they're drama. So we go as far away from drama as we can. Christians don't need to be drama. If you step into a situation where there's drama, take authority over it. Don't need to absorb it into you. They need to absorb what's in you into them. And that's called peace. These two are sitting here today with multiple generations in their company because they proved it works. And they would want, now they may look at grandma and grandpa or mom and dad and say, we haven't got it down just like them. Don't quit. Your story's not written yet. Because the author of the book is the one who's writing your story. And if you trust in, you rely on, you lean on. Well, and by the way, that lean on, trust in, that's a picture, and literally in the amplified, the descriptive words it gives, it means with your all of your weight, be willing to fall on Him. Run to Him and fall into His arms. He's going to catch you and He will raise you up. Because He's committed to you more than you are committed to you. He's committed to me and my safety and my eternity more than I am. So I can actually run to Him hard and jump. And by the way, doesn't it feel like sometimes you're actually at the cliff's edge when you're doing the jump? He's the only one that will catch you at the cliff. Because if you're depending on man, there's not a man with the skills good enough to catch you before you go over the edge. But our God, He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. And He's the only one, by the way, that can go over the edge with you and pull you back. Get the picture. Get the picture. Heavenly Father, I'm asking you today, by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for the remission of my sin, I'm asking you, God, that you would so penetrate the hearts and awaken the hearts that are in this room. Some of us have grown cold. Some of us have never gotten warm. But I'm asking you, God, that you will meet every need today according to your riches and glory. Every need according to your wealth. Every need according to your power. I'm asking you, God, that you will meet every need in the name of the Most High. And every believer said, amen. Give the Lord a huge hand. Give Him a hand. Come on. Give Him your best.
We hope you found this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church both beneficial and enjoyable. If you're ever in the area, please come by and visit us at 810 Westwood Industrial Park Drive, Weldon Springs, Missouri, 63304. You can also reach us online at www.stcharlesriverchurch.org.